1 Corinthians 15, Paul's writing about the resurrection in that chapter, by the way, the bodily resurrection, because the challenge for the first century Greeks was they spiritualized everything, and I think it's still kind of a challenge for us today. We tend to spiritualize things, but there's things that are natural, and so what they were spiritualizing was they were saying Jesus never came as a human being. He was just a spiritual apparition. And he didn't physically raise from the dead because he didn't physically die. And there's all these kinds of things that were being... So false doctrine isn't new, just to say. So Paul, in the context of writing this, he says, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spirit did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. In other words, we all start this way. And it ties in with what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. He said to Nicodemus, born of water and then of the Spirit. And we all know, the ladies know this better than we do, but we begin life encased in water. But then we have to be born again. And then when we're born again, we participate in Christ, in the heavenly man. And so this is what he's writing about. As is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. And this beginning of bearing this image all has already started in us when we're saved. Amen? So becoming like Christ is, for us in this life, it's a journey, it's a process. I mean, the Bible uses terminology like Jesus is the door, he's the straight and narrow gate, he's the path. So we're on a journey. We began that journey when we entered in through Christ, and we continue as the Holy Spirit's working in us. We continue until we meet the Lord face to face, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I don't know. How about you guys? You think? But one of the central truths that I want us to capture through this process is the concept of grace, because when we think about God, and when we think about, and right now we're kind of looking at the promises of God. When we think about the promises of God, God has made us promises. Yes? Awesome promises. He's promised us about a future in heaven with him. He's promised us so many things that pertain to this life. And we're going to look at one of those, focuses of promises today. But the thing that I want us to capture is the concept of grace, because, as evangelicals, I like the way that term is being bantered around these days, by the way. It sounds like another race of people. But as evangelicals, we're conditioned to believe that we are saved by grace. And when we say that, what it means to us is eventually I'm going to go to heaven. But we don't always think about what we're saved from or think about what salvation is in its totality, because it's in Scripture, it's much bigger than the evangelical definition. So, the issue of legalism or the issue of the law is more deeply rooted in us than I think that we get at first pass. So, the concept of good and evil, the concept of am I going to earn something from God, is so sown into our nature that even though we say, I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God, so we can repeat that scripture, we can repeat that concept, but when we want God to do something, we start to bargain. God, if you do this, I'll, And I just want to just deliver you from that this morning. He's completely unimpressed by our ability. Everything we get from God is by grace. And so when we think about the promises, and we're going to talk about the promise of healing today, when we think about the promises of God, don't think about it as, I'm trying to be good enough to get healed. I want to say again that it's all by grace. When Jesus ministered healing, deliverance, forgiveness, or, you know, all of the above, he did so with the understanding that they all are together. They're all the same. So this process of coming out of who we were born into, the first Adam, the fallen man, and coming into the image of God, which was the original intent, we're just being replaced into that, you know, process, is 100%, it has nothing to do with us. And that is so hard. We can sit here because we're in church and we know, oh no, Pastor, I know it's by grace. I guarantee you, if you hit the wall of a hard trial, there's going to be that part of you that's going to start to bargain with God. You're going to try to convince God that somehow you deserve or somebody deserves it. Come on, wave at me if you've done those things. You know, it's just like, you know, that it's so deep in us. But here's the thing. It's so important for us to separate ourselves from that, because it diminishes our relationship with God, and it diminishes our relationship with each other, because our relationships this way become performance-oriented too. Well, I like you because you said this or did this. We need to like people, or no, I'm going to say it this way. We need to love people because God first loved us, and we can extend that love. Amen? So I just want to say it this way. God extends his love to every person on the planet right now, right, whether they know it or not, is being touched by the love of God. Not everyone's in relationship with him, because there are some requirements to enter that relationship. Number one, it's repentance. There's an acknowledgement, a recognition. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Lord, please forgive me. I turn from whatever that is. And so that's part of the deal. But we are not of the earthly man, we're of the heavenly man. And so when we're asked about salvation, we want to learn how to respond in a biblical way, right? So the example that came to my mind was the blind man, the man who was born blind. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were so upset with Jesus because he wasn't doing it their way. And that spirit's still here today, friends. I mean, you guys use guitars. You know, if you're going to do it God's way, you're going to sing out of a book with an organ. Whatever the thing is, or, you know, there's going to be no musical instruments because there's no musical instruments mentioned in the New Testament. So we can't have, there's people that believe that way. There's a special place in heaven for them where they don't have to contact anybody else because they're the only ones making it. No, you know what I'm saying. So there's all of these thoughts, but this man that was born blind, they're trying to figure out, and their basic belief is, well, he was born blind because the parents sinned. And Jesus is like, that's not what's happening here. But what was his testimony? You know, they asked his parents, and they said, well, he's of age, ask him. They just didn't want to get into the argument. And sometimes that's an okay solution. If religious people want to argue with it, just go, you know, okay, whatever. Don't argue, because you're not going to convince them, right? Holy Spirit has to reveal this stuff to our hearts. And so, but they asked the blind guy, and what was his testimony? I once was blind, but now I see. I mean, it's real simple. However Jesus touches you is your testimony. So I have a testimony. I once was, but my list is too long to get into this morning. I once was this, but now I'm this. So you figure out what you've done. You figure out what God saved you from, but he saved you from something. So he saved this man from blindness. And why am I using the word saved? Because it's the word that Jesus used. He never said a separate word. If someone was delivered, or someone was sick, or someone was maimed, he used the same word. Jesus came to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. So again, salvation is whatever I say. Are you saved from drugs? You saved from lust? You saved from lying? You saved from theft? What are you saved from? That's your testimony. When we talk about being saved from the wrath of God, that's an abstract to people in the world who don't even believe there is a God. Right? What do you say? I'm saved from the wrath of God. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And they're like, oh, yeah, whatever. But if you tell them, I once was bound by this, and when Jesus touched me, now I'm free, they can go, I understand that. That's why when you see, my mind's going 1,000 ways right now. Sometimes we're too smart for God. And you know how I'm saying that? It's just a tongue-in-cheek thing. But we've got to figure out some theological treatise to explain what happened to us, and the world could care less about that. But you let a blind guy say, I was blind, and this guy Jesus, he touched me. He spit in the ground and made mud, and he rubbed that mud in my eyes, and now I have eyes that work. However Jesus did it, because he did it by speaking, he did it by spitting, he did it by, what, you know, because we always want to reproduce what worked last time. So there's the spitting church. No, you know what I'm saying. That's what we tend to camp out. What am I saying? I don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. I don't know if tomorrow's going to include me. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to include the church. Jesus might come and mess up everything. Wouldn't that be great? You know how I'm saying that. I shouldn't say it that way. It's good when... It can sound like political humor. But at the last trump... Okay? We're going up. Our testimony comes out of what Jesus has done for us. And physical healing is a part of that. And it's through grace by faith. The Gadarene demoniac who had a legion of demons. You know, thousands of demons were in this one guy. He was messed up. That's kind of the, you know, theological term. He was messed up. Jesus delivered. He didn't deliver half or most or a percentage. He delivered them all. And the guy was clothed. And he went from being naked and cutting himself to clothed and in his right mind. What was his testimony? I once was bound, but now I'm free. And all the people in the surrounding region knew who this guy was. They'd probably never seen him that way. That was his testimony. Those of you that have been around here for a while remember Virginia Dickens? When she was a little girl, her arm was broken, but the economics of the time made it... You know, even for her family, made it to where she never got to the doctor and never had the arm set, so it was locked like this. She was a little girl with her arm locked like this. Her parents took her to Angelus Temple, and Sister McPherson prayed for her, and she was healed. That whatever was wrong was healed, and she recovered full use of her arm. So those of us that knew her at the end of her life, it was almost 80 years later, she was still healed, and she was still walking with the Lord. Isn't that? So that was her testimony. I don't think it matters how we get introduced to God. I think it matters that we stay with Him. And so for her, that was her testimony. I once had a broken arm, but now I have use of it. I want to look at three healings that according to the Pharisees should not have happened. And the reason I'm doing it is because I really want to push out of your thinking this idea that I'm not healed because of something I said, something I did, something I thought, some motive is wrong or whatever. And I think that kind of thinking in us is challenging God in a way that keeps Him at arm's length. And it's rather just saying, Lord, I know You love me. And even if you just come into a point of real honesty and say, I don't quite know why. Have you ever felt that way? Lord, I know You love me, not sure why, because I'm not so happy with myself right now, and I'm sure You probably think like me on this. No. But that's actually what's happening. And But just by grace, God, your grace. I think it's why more unsaved people are healed than saved people. Have you ever thought about that? I've prayed for so many lost people, they get healed, and prayed for so many saved people, and they just walk out of there going, I don't know why I wasn't healed either. You didn't have enough faith, or I didn't have enough. We go through all this stuff, but people in the world, they don't have religious hang-ups. What happens to us? You know? I don't know what happens to us. It's so funny how people, there's certain scriptures that they're not serving God, but there's certain scriptures that they know. You know? Well, Jesus turned water into wine. That's one of my favorite ones. Well, and to the people in another subculture, well, you know, Jesus gave us every green herb. You know? So there's all of this. We're going to set all of that thinking aside right now. Amen? And we're just going to say this. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son that we might be saved. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. And I want you to understand that the context of that word save for him isn't like, oh, you weren't going to heaven, but now you are. Saved is you becoming a whole person. So we're going to look at three people that shouldn't have been healed. First one is found in Luke 8, verses 40 through 48. You can turn there if you want, or just listen, but it's the woman with the issue of blood. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitudes welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed in any way, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes thronged and pressed you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Isn't it amazing? Jesus asks a question and someone else gives an answer that has nothing to do with what he has. Anyways, it's just a thought. We do that too. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out of me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well, made you whole, healed you." However you want to word that, go in peace. Now, why was she trembling? Because in Leviticus 15:25, it says this, "If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than the time of her customary impurity," that's the way the Bible says her period, okay? If that happens, if it runs beyond her usual time, "All the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean." In other words, don't go out in public, stay closed in. And so she was trembling because she knew she was in violation of the law. But desperation will cause us to do things that we don't normally do. But it was a good thing she did it, right? There was a change coming between the law and grace, and Jesus is demonstrating that here because he healed her. Now, I don't exactly know what was going through her mind, and I don't know what she had heard about Jesus before this, but obviously she had heard that people were being healed through his ministry, and she thinks, if I just touch the hem of his garment, why she said that, I have no idea. When the Roman centurion came about his servant, he said, "If you just speak the word, my servant will be healed." What is the point? God meets us at that point of faith. And that point of faith might not look like what we think it should look. So if you think about somebody, I can remember a testimony of a guy who needed healing, and he got a bunch of Bibles and he opened them up and laid them on his body and laid down and he opened all these Bibles and laid them on him and he said, "Lord, I know your word heals people." But for him, that's what it meant. He was, you might say he was simple or whatever, but here's the good news, he got healed. So I don't know how God's going to do it. It doesn't really, does it matter? If you're a person in her situation, she's bleeding out. At some point, this is going to take her life. It's been going on for 12 years. It's probably a miracle she lasted this long in those circumstances. But here, she shows up. Bang, she's healed. I'm not against doctors. It just bothers me that they don't have guarantees. You know, if you're not healed, you don't pay. Wouldn't that be great? I think it's an idea that we should float. So, Jesus is our Savior, He's our healer, He's our deliverer. And being good Foursquare people, He's our soon coming King. Amen? So, this deadly legalism being promoted by the Pharisees kept her locked away, but she pushed through that. That's the point. I don't want to get lost in whether or not someone should be here, someone should be doing this. Someone, I just want to say, you know what? Jesus loves you so much, He doesn't want to leave you the way He found you. There are people that are locked away, not because of the law, but they're locked away because of shame. There's people that are locked away because of guilt. There's people that are locked away for a million reasons. But if you by faith touch Jesus, He will cleanse that. Amen? Let me say it this way. Even if you're unclean, Jesus wants to heal you. Because that's the point of this story in my mind. Amen? Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We could have church on that verse. That's good news. Amen? Now, today we don't understand it because nobody, I'm not going to say it that way. Many people have no concern about the law today. I wish more people cared about it when they were driving. I can't think of a day that goes by, but I don't see someone cross that center divider because they're not driving. They're texting or they're talking or they're fiddling with something, or they're making their lunch, or whatever they're doing. I can remember sitting behind a gal, and she had her mirror down and the little thing up, and she's putting her makeup on, the light turned green, and I'm sitting there going, you know, at some point, you know, probably we should get going. And here's a thought, set your alarm 10 minutes earlier, and you can do that in front of your mirror at home. Just, you know, that's just me thinking. But my horn didn't work, so I just got to wait. Do any of you have really just messed up thinking like me? I just want to roll the window down and say, it's not helping! Just because I'm frustrated, you know. I don't know. That's mean, huh? That's what happens to me when I'm being held up at a green light. So, all right, the next person is the Gentile mother. Then Jesus, oh sorry, scripture reference, Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Excuse me. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's north in Lebanon, north of Israel. What's now Lebanon today, excuse me. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. You ever have a day like this in church? The pastor won't talk to you. The people are saying, well, you don't belong here. That's a bad day at church. This is what happens to this lady. Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said to her, it gets worse, by the way. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. is there another church in town? Because... And she said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus, man, her response. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. You know, there's only a couple of people that Jesus makes that statement to, and they're both non-Jews. One's a Roman and one's a Canaanite. And, you know, Italian. Can you imagine? God praising an Italian? I can't imagine. Only thing that's harder to imagine is him praising an Irishman. So anyways. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Be it unto, let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus wasn't even there. It was the mom's faith. There's a commonality between these two women, and it's desperation. Desperation is okay. Sometimes I know there's all these artificial things we put on us. If you're going through something really severe in your life and you think, I just need to be calm. Maybe not. Maybe you need to cry out after Jesus and make a spectacle out of yourself and get rejected by everybody and then get what you came for. You know, I don't know. But these two women were out of bounds. And it's just an amazing passage. But let's go back to the law again for a moment. What were the Jews supposed to do to the Canaanites? Wipe them out. Here, you know, 1,500 years after Moses, here's this woman. She's here. Jesus isn't, he's like, I'm not going to talk to you. But by faith, she keeps pressing in, and she gets through. I think that's awesome. She captured a truth that the arrogant religious leaders missed, is that Jesus came to make people whole. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Jesus sat and talked with one of the top religious leaders of his day, Nicodemus, and everything he said went right over his head. Isn't it something? Why did I start off making a big deal about legalism? Because legalism settles itself into our thinking and distances us from God. There's something I have to do to get close to God. You know, for someone who's everywhere present, I don't know how you do that. Again, just thinking out loud. Throw me a crumb, Lord. Heal my daughter. Isn't that something? So again, here's a woman that Jesus shouldn't have talked to, but he did, and he gave her what she asked for. There's one more person I want to look at. It comes from Matthew chapter 8. I was debating. There are so many examples along these lines, and I was debating. I was going to do the Roman centurion servant, and then, but that passage is long, and I knew I couldn't resist the temptation to talk about it too much, so I went with the leper, because it's one of my favorite passages, but I went with the leper in Matthew 8, 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is following the Sermon on the Mount, okay, so that's the mountain. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This guy should not have been there. He should have been with the rest of the lepers. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Uh-oh. Double whammy. What did Jesus say? You're not good enough. Go to church more. Read more. Pray more. Give more. Give to me. God will give you 100 times back. You know, all the nonsense that goes on today. I'm not against giving. I'm not against reading. I'm not against going to church, obviously. But that's not the stuff we do to get God's favor. I love it. Jesus doesn't say anything other than, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So Jesus wasn't about violating the law, but he wasn't going to allow the law to create a wall between him and humanity. And that's the thing that happens. The law isn't bad. It isn't evil. It isn't something that's it's passed away in the sense of the context of our relationship with God. But we're not in relationship with God so that we can violate the law. Amen? We're in relationship with God, and he's given us the Holy Spirit so we can actually walk in the spirit of it. So the law breaks down this way. I'm going to say it this way. The law breaks down this way. I don't want to violate God or you. Again, here's another illegal healing. And again, the reason for the focus is I don't want you to think you have to be good enough to get healed. I don't want to think you have to be any enough to be healed. I want you to believe that God wants to heal you because he loves you and for no other reason. He doesn't just want to heal you to give you a testimony. I hear people say this one too, and I understand it, but it bothers me a little bit. Well, if God will heal me, I'll testify for him. You know what? He told this guy to not do that. And I think there's times that God heals us and he doesn't want us to tell anybody because he just wants it to be an act of love for us so that we get it. I think that's cool. Now, in the same chapter in Matthew 8, so we understand that the Gospels were written after the fact, yes? So Matthew was written years after this, and these apostolic men were recording what Jesus said in order to pass it on, because first person passing it on has a time limit. Because the last apostle John goes, there's got to be some way that we can see and hear what Jesus did, so now we have it in the written word. So Matthew writes after the fact, and he inserts something here that I want us to capture. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, you know, again, same chapter, but further down, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself bore our infirmities and bore our sickness. What's the point of him inserting this prophecy from Isaiah here is that this is a statement about salvation. And he's linked deliverance and healing right in there. So what did Jesus pay for on the cross? Oh, he paid the debt so I could go to heaven. He paid for your healing. He paid for your freedom. He paid for your deliverance. You know, one of the things I was praying about this morning, our bodies are amazing chemical factories. Our bodies are amazing drug-producing factories. And if they get out of balance, it affects us negatively. I was praying this morning, I said, God, heal chemical imbalances. If someone is struggling with depression, we treat them differently than someone who needs physical healing. And it shouldn't be that way. It's something that God wants to touch. Right? If you have a habit that you can't kick, you know what? God wants to touch it just like he wants to touch everything. So Matthew, and to me what this is a window into how the early church viewed this subject. God wants to do this for you. They're not separate. See, I can ask this question, but I just talked to you, but think about this. Does God want everyone to be saved and go to heaven? Wave at me if you believe that. Does he want everyone to be healed? And see, usually it starts to slow down there. Is everyone going to heaven? No. Is everyone going to be healed? No. I don't know all the answers. I'm just saying I understand from Scripture that he wants to. The longer I live, and I know if I'm allowed to stay here, however many years I'm allowed to stay here, my healing list gets added to. I remember years ago I was praying really earnestly for something important like, Lord, don't let any more hair fall out. You know, I don't know what, I don't remember what I was praying about exactly. I just remember what he said. I was really praying about something and he said to me, He said to me, son, I will heal your diseases, but I will not reverse the aging process. Why? Because if he did that, we would just keep on going. And at some point, we are. I don't know when. I don't know any of that stuff. I just know it's going to happen. I don't know why some people are healed right away and some people it's a process. I don't know why some... I remember this... I've told you this story before, so forgive me if it's repetitive for you, but there was this lady that we met, Helen. Helen Berry, yeah. She was married to a character actor, and he was a well-known British character actor. Her body was full of cancer. And this woman was so close to God, it was stunning. I would go and sit and visit with her just to hear her stories. And I remember one time, Sarah and I were having a little intense fellowship because she thought she was right. And it typically causes problems. So the phone rang, and I went in and I picked up the phone, and she could barely speak. She was on oxygen, and she said, Pat, hi, Helen. I was praying for you, and you need to go apologize to your wife. Now there was two people that were wrong. I didn't understand why she wasn't healed. She went to be with the Lord not too long after that. I don't understand it. I don't claim to understand it. I know one thing for sure, I'm not the healer. But I do know this, that he wants to heal. And so, I'm not calling any of you an unclean woman, a Canaanite, or a leper. But I am saying this to you. Don't think that you have to achieve some level of goodness to get God's favor, because it's a free gift. Amen? Amen. You guys heard when Chad testified about being healed of Hep C. That's a big deal. I don't know why he wasn't healed when he first got saved. I don't know why he was healed 4 years later. I don't know why. I don't even know why he was healed. I didn't pray for him. I'm glad you understand. I'm joking. I remember the first time I hurt my back, it was actually, I don't know why they say back and neck. I mean, they're kind of connected in my view. My head was over like this. I couldn't, it was all messed up. And I was standing like this, and there was a Wednesday night service, and a guy came in. I could tell by the way he was walking, he was uncomfortable, and he sat down in the very back row. And I'm ministering, and all of a sudden, and don't ask me to explain this, I saw this light come down over him and then go into his back. And the Lord said, tell him that I just healed him. And it'll manifest it. Nothing had happened yet. So I said, the Lord just showed me that he's moving on you and he's healing your back. He was scheduled for surgery and he got healed. I wasn't. I don't know why some people get healed and some people don't. I don't really. I know. I just know he wants to. I think we know more than we know. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I know he is. If he came before the end of this message, it would be okay. Really, it's been long enough, right? No. I'm just trying to tug at you a little bit, because I want us to really think about engaging God by faith. Now, I know that sounds overly simplistic, but we go about our lives and we get busy and we don't stop ourselves and go, Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to say today? Who do you want to be through me? Do you want to be the deliverer? Do you want to be the savior? Do you want to be the healer? What do you want to do? How do you want to use me? And I think we need to stop ourselves. And here's the thing. Whatever it is you're going through, try praying about that for somebody else and then get frustrated with God when he heals them. I'm just saying. I don't mean that really, but you understand what I'm saying. And so I've historically had this bad attitude. I can remember praying for people and their whole family get saved. And God, you haven't saved my family. I don't mean my immediate, but my parents and my extended. Any of you ever have those thoughts? You'll see. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed with one person and they go tell their family. Man, I don't want to mention names, but remember I was on a commuter bus riding with a guy to Diablo Canyon. So you're like incarcerated for a long time because there's demonstrators and traffic and you're sitting there for an hour and a half. Did you ever ride the bus, Bob? Because you guys are on a different schedule. But they would bus us in and bus us out because there were so many people going there and taking naps for good pay. That was how we built the Diablo plant. Waiting for the next job to come down. But this guy sat next to me and he goes, you work out, don't you? And I said, well, I used to, you know. He goes, I want to talk to you about working out. I said, I don't have time to talk to you about working out. You need to get saved. I have no idea why that happened. It just, I was sitting there going. I opened up my Bible and started sharing scriptures with him. He came to Christ. He went home. His whole family came to Christ. His wife called her parents who were going to commit suicide that night. They got saved. And my family, not so much. I don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't. Do you understand that? Please don't tell me you do. Or if you really think you do, talk to me after church. I'll deliver you from that as well. But I'm just saying, all of this stuff I don't understand. The only thing I understand is God is willing that none should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. And the context of that statement isn't just living a long time somewhere. It's he wants to touch us now. He wants us to bear the image of Jesus now. I don't think Jesus was sick. I just don't think he was. I don't think he went through a lot of stuff. I don't think he had depression. He was a man acquainted with sorrows, but he didn't go into depression. But we do. And so, okay. I've poked and prodded long enough. Would you bow your heads?